3 seconds. Bogey for the win! Bogdanovich! If you don't like that, you don't like Kings basketball!
Bonjour à tous, bienvenue sur ce nouvel épisode du Sacramento Talk consacré. Voilà, on va un petit peu se pencher sur la saison, sur le playoff push et sur les playoffs qui arrivent. Voilà, on va parler de plein de choses différentes. En raison de mon invité du jour, le podcast sera entièrement en anglais. Et je vous souhaite une excellente écoute. Today I have a special guest, Franklin Kataskeli from Sacktown Sports 1140. Hey Franklin, how are you?
Thank you so much for having me. It's great to be on with you on your great show, my friend, and exciting times around the Kings fan base. So I'm excited to talk some Kings to you.
Yeah, right. I believe this is the second time you're on the show with me. Thank you for being here once again. So I really appreciate that.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, I believe it was before last year's trade deadline. And if I remember correctly, you said you were hoping that the Kings trade for Domantas Sabonis.
Yeah.
A great call, man. Great call.
Yeah, you know, it's hard to predict those things. And while I don't remember what I said verbatim, I don't know if I predicted Tyrese Haliburton to be the player included in that deal. Yeah. I think that the main rumors at the time were De'Aaron Fox. And what we'd been hearing was that neither Fox or Tyrese would get moved, but it's funny how things work out. And that's a trade that at this point has gone down as one of the more successful win-win trades in NBA history. And the Kings are really enjoying the dividends of that deal right now. So they're really enjoying it. But yeah, it's funny looking back on that. I think that was the last time and how much things have changed.
Yeah, so much similar things. Just looking back on the season, not just doing takeaways, but just what was your favorite moment, one or maybe your several favorite moments on the season?
You know, it's such a special year, and I think down the line we'll look back on this year, and it'll be all of it. I mean, there's so many good things, and that's the fun part. And I'll pull some of my favorite moments second, but I just want to highlight how in previous years, if you watch the Kings, you would know that there are maybe one or two moments a year that you really can hang on to. Like I think in 2017, the bogey buzzer beater it made the whole year. The bogey buzzer beater against the Lakers was one of the best moments and maybe the only great moment of the year. DeMarcus Cousins going 56 points against the Hornets. That was maybe the highlight of the year back in 2015. This year has had so many great moments. I mean, the moments that stick out to me, and someone asked me the other day what my favorite game of the year was, and I think the Fox half-court buzzer beater was a great shot, and it kind of was what jump-started his Mr. Clutch, Mr. Fourth Quarter narrative. But I look back to that game against the Jazz where Kevin Huerter hit that game go-ahead three-pointer, and that is referred to as a pop. People hear this pop in the sound on the audio when you watch that video of Huerter hitting that go-ahead triple, and Golden 1 Center is losing its mind, man. And it's really special seeing moments like that. And there's been countless times with the crowd getting involved, and it has you excited for the playoff push. But I think basically from a game perspective, the Magic game, the Jazz game, obviously the game in Los Angeles where the Kings, the second highest scoring game of all time, you beat the Clippers, a fully healthy Clippers team. And then of course you have to factor in the special things you're seeing as far as accolades go. Two All-Stars, De'Aaron Fox and Domantas Sabonis, two players at All-Star weekend for the first time since 2004. That was special. Keegan Murray, who's just a couple of shots away from breaking the rookie three-point record. And of course, Mike Brown, who, in my opinion, deserves to be Coach of the Year and I think will be Coach of the Year. So the list it's a long list. And it's been a special year. And like I said, I'm there's so many moments I'd like to look back and reflect on, and I think we'll have an opportunity to do that, but hopefully a lot more good ones are to come. And starting with this evening, if the Kings or the morning over there, that the Kings clinching a playoff spot, if the Warriors, our friends down the road, the Warriors can beat the Timberwolves. So, hoping some good playoff moments are ahead, but right now those are the moments I have from the season.
Yeah. I was thinking about the same thing. I mean, the game winner from Kevin Werther against the Jazz. I mean, every time, no matter how much, I don't know how many times I've watched it, but every time it gives me chills, man. Yeah. Just, I can't imagine what it was inside Golden One Center. I mean, just looking at it, hearing the sound, the noise inside the arena. I mean, wow. And it's just regular season, so yeah. I can't wait to see what the arena has in store for us in terms of noise and in terms of, I mean, all those things. It amazes me. I mean,
It was loud. It was loud.
All season long, the arena has been packed. I mean, right last year, last games against the Jazz. I mean, I believe it was an attendance record.
More
than 18,000 people.
They have standing room only has been a thing, and it was loud last night too. I mean, you can tell the fans are knowing that we're on the precipice of something pretty big here, and that's why it's so kind of funny to me. And special as well that game against the Jazz with the Kevin Huerter shot. I think it was November. No, I think it was January. I think maybe December. December. It was right before New Year's, and it just felt like. And I think Mike Brown said that was a playoff atmosphere in December. So really special.
Yeah. One other thing I remember is obviously the seven game winning streak.
Yeah,
and that was the time I said to myself, "Wow, man, this team is for real, and we can go far into the season." So that's the moment all the NBA start acknowledging the Kings, because everybody, all the previews put the Kings like 12th or 11th position in the West, like not even in the play-in. So seeing you, we can get back on our feet after an 0-4 start was a great thing to see. And the seven game winning streak was the biggest streak in God knows how long. So was definitely a special moment. And then we had so much fun on this on Twitter this season, yeah. Because. I believe it was Vivek that says it in the last episode of the run, like the Kings are everybody's second favorite team. So everybody is rooting for us. I mean, everybody's so happy that we are going to get back to the playoffs. So it's amazing. I mean, yeah, it's one of the biggest highlights of the season is seeing everybody happy for the fan base.
Yeah. Seeing like even the national media and other fan bases rally around the Kings is really fun. And it's special. It's something that I can remember I was talking to about it, maybe other media members, but I think it's something we need to kind of take it in and enjoy it, because it's never going to be like this. It's never going to be like the national media and other teams and people around the league supporting the Kings like this, because once the Kings knock that playoff drought out, and if they make a run here in the playoffs, next year is going to be like, okay, those teams that were kind of supporting us and rallying around us, they're going to be coming for us. So, It's a fun season, and it's so cool, and it's awesome that the national media, like Kendrick Perkins, came on with my colleague Chris Watkins and was talking about the Kings the other day, and it's just cool seeing those national media outlets kind of grabbing onto the Sacramento Kings for the first time in what feels like forever, and it's never going to be like this. This is a special year, and everyone needs to soak it in, and obviously hard times are coming up. With the playoffs comes a lot more high-pressure situations, and once you become a playoff team, you get on people's bulletin boards. They want to come after you too. But this year is for sure a special, special season.
Yeah. I mean, about the storytelling about the Kings going back to the playoffs is cool to everyone nationally around the NBA. But yeah, as you said, we're gonna have a target on our back next season, I believe. So yeah, gonna be interesting to see how this group. Improves will be the moves that Monte McNair will make in the summer to improve this roster. So it will be interesting to see this team evolve in the future. Which awards do you think are realistically up for grabs for the Kings?
So I think the clutch award's pretty much in the bag. I mean, I know that De'Aaron is dealing with a hamstring issue right now. It's not anything serious. Mike Brown said that, if he wants to play, the team's being, they're holding him out as a precaution. And with the playoffs approaching, you want to have him fully healthy. But if DeMar DeRozan is able to catch him in fourth quarter points or Kyrie Irving, I don't think that should deter voters from the fact that De'Aaron Fox has been the best closer in the NBA this season. I don't think it will. I think that, like we talked about, the national media, like that perspective of those personalities, those writers that have the votes, they know who De'Aaron Fox is, and they've seen the big shots he's made, and whether it be the half-court buzzer beater in Orlando, the game in Chicago just a week ago, he's had so many moments this season where he's been that guy. So I would imagine he will probably take home the first ever Jerry West Clutch Award. Mike Brown, Coach of the Year, he's listed as the favorite right now, and I think he will win it. I do think he will win it. There's a lot of other guys in that list. I mean, Joe Mazzulla has done a great job in Boston, but again, my argument is Boston was a great team. They have a great roster that was constructed by Brad Stevens, who maybe Brad Stevens is up for Executive of the Year. Maybe that's more suitable for the Celtics, but it's got to be Mike Brown, a guy who, I mean, head coaches that came in over the years, it was almost like an impossible situation where it's like you're set up to fail. It's a team that hasn't made the playoffs in so long. And some good coaches have come through here. I mean, Michael Malone got a start here. The Kings didn't see it through, obviously. Didn't work out, but he couldn't do it. Dave Yeager, he's seen success in the league. Didn't happen. George Karl, I mean, he's a Hall of Fame coach. Didn't work out for a lot of reasons in that regard. But Mike Brown is someone who came in and he righted the ship. He literally fixed things. He brought in a great staff who has built a winning culture. And for that, I think he deserves to be Coach of the Year. And it's also somebody who has a large amount of respect in national circles. Mike Brown's a beloved around the league and someone who's done so much in his 30 years of coaching. I mean, he's been on Greg Popovich's staff. He's coached LeBron James, Kobe Bryant. He's been on the Warriors staff. I mean, he's just done so many things and accomplished so much. And he gets to add this to his list. And lastly, I would say the next discussion right now that's taking place is, will Keegan Murray make the all-rookie first team? And Mike Brown last night in his post-game presser said that, you know, there's something wrong with the voting process if Keegan Murray's not on the first team. Somebody who was drafted at his position. He's a top-five pick. He's fourth overall pick. And all the rest of those guys that are going for the top pick in the draft, and the Kings are a top-three seed in the West, and it's just different. And breaking the rookie three-point record on 40% shooting, it's just never been done before. He's doing things that literally have never been done before, and it's historic. And while he's not leading an offense and being a go-to guy, you see sometimes that he has that in the bag and he can go out and do more, and he can be a capable two or three option on the offensive end. But I think it'll be interesting. There's a lot of good rookies in this class. It's a talented class, but Keegan's done more than enough, in my opinion, to be first team. But down the list, like you just said, that's what we got. Fox, Brown, maybe there's some possibility of Fox for most improved, but I think Lauri Markkanen's a guy who might be the front runner for that. He's had a really good year in Utah, yeah. But
I think MIP is pretty much for Lauri Markkanen. I mean,
yeah, and well deserved. I mean, I've liked him a lot back when he was playing with Chicago and in Cleveland, and someone I think the Kings fans on social media last summer were talking about dreaming of maybe they could swing a trade for him, and Utah ended up getting that done. But I think there will be plural awards. Like, there will be more than, it won't just be Fox. I think Fox and Brown, or Fox, Brown, and Murray will all get awards. And of course, if Keegan doesn't make first team, he's a lock for all rookie second. But I hope he's first team.
Maybe Monty McNair will be executive of the year. I mean, that's another option. But yeah, to go back on Murray, I mean, I'm okay with the fact that he's not winning Rookie of the Year. I'm okay with that, because you have Paolo Banchero and Jalen Williams in OKC, mm-hmm. that are doing amazing things. But in my opinion, if you don't vote Keegan Murray into the All Rookie First Team, I mean that's ridiculous. I mean, mm-hmm. yeah, like Mike Brown said, you get a vote for him in the first team. He's a like third or fourth option on a winning team, a team that's top three in the Western Conference. And so yeah, and you mentioned the record. I mean, that's amazing. He's not only one of the best shooters of his draft class, he's one of the best shooters in the entire NBA. And that's nobody that has shot more than 400 three-point attempts and shooting 40% doing it. I mean, I think there was there are seven players and two around the Kings. That's Kevin Huerter and obviously King and Murray. So yeah, he's done amazing things adapting all year long because yeah, Mike Brown is putting so much pressure on this kid and is always responding. I mean, that's the thing that amazes me all season long. He's not just a shooter. He was able to rebound when he was asked to. He was able to defend. He was able to drive to the basket. So he has so much room to improve. So, I mean, next season is going to be so interesting to see him.
Yeah, I mean, that's what's exciting for sure right now. It's the fact that we've seen some great things from him. And I was watching some college tape of him. I was showing it to some other guys in Kings Media, just talking about how he used to score around the rim when he was in college. And he's been doing it a little more in the past couple of days. That's a part of his game where right now the Kings only need him to be a spot up. Not only need him to be, but he primarily is a spot up shooter and someone who's in the corner and always in a set position ready for the pass from Sabonis or Fox, but he's capable of so much more. And if Harrison Barnes were to leave this offseason, and that's something that Monty McNair will have to figure out, but if Harrison Barnes leaves, what does that mean for the Kings offense? And to me, it means King and Murray will have to take a step forward. And De'Aaron Fox said that at All-Star Weekend, he said that he tells Keegan that he watches teams like Milwaukee and the Clippers and down the line, the Warriors, teams that have impact, multiple impact forwards or wings, that if the Kings want to take the next step, he needs to be able to take that next step as well. It's really important to the Kings' growth is that Keegan Murray develops. And it's not to me a matter of, oh, I don't know if he's built to be that kind of a player. I think he is. I just think he hasn't had the opportunity to. And when Kevin Huerter was out this past week, three games, he was out. Keegan Murray was scoring 18 points a game on still 40% shooting from three. I think he was 46 from the field, and he was grabbing six rebounds per game. So it just is about the opportunity and if the Kings need him to be that player. And right now they don't, because they have enough guys on the team to carry that load. They have Harrison Barnes, who's been playing really well lately. He actually has been closing the past few games with De'Aaron Fox out. They have Malik Monk, who, well, he got a quick toss last night, but he's been an impact scorer off the bench. And they don't really need Keegan Murray to go out there and get them 20 points tonight. They need him to be a knockdown threat in the perimeter, which he's been. They need him to hit the glass more, and he's done that. Like you said, when Mike Brown challenges him, he has answered the call every time. And I think next year, if the roster looks a little bit different, he'll answer that call as well.
Yeah, it will be interesting to see him in the playoffs. What he will be capable to do if he can do everything. I think that that's one of the strengths of this team, is that you can have one core player out on one core player shooting bad one night, and other players are going to step forward and step up and just do scoring points and doing whatever the team needs. That's amazing. I mean, the first player that comes to mind to me, that's Trey Lyles. Didn't expect that much from Trey Lyles this season. I mean, this guy amazes me. I mean, like on the defensive end, and he can knock down threes, obviously, and can defend. And Chimezime too can have a good run. Kessler Edwards can have a good run. I mean, everybody can have a good run on any given night, and that's what is very good about this team. They have a very deep bench, and I mean that's cool. That's cool going into the playoffs, because Mike Brown is gonna have to stretch this bench. I mean, you are gonna have like eight or nine players playing every night, maybe. So it's nice to see. He could have seen what are the strengths and the flaws of every player, so he can play them at the right moment. And he can adapt every time, so that's cool to have a coach that's smart. I mean, it didn't happen for a long time, and that's You talk about the winning culture and all that. I mean, that's the difference this year.
Yeah, I mean, and like you said, I mean, it's the Mike Brown effect, and again, like you said, the Monty McNair. I totally forgot about him as far as executive of the year. Not forgot, but It's a discussion we had a while back too, and I think I put it on Twitter. Like, I asked, "What is that? Not a discussion? If it's not, it needs to be, because the roster, like you said, Trey Lyles was an under the radar move last year, and it was the Kings' return for Marvin Bagley. I mean, it was the Kings, you know, hitting eject on the Marvin Bagley project, and they got back Trey Lyles, who is a veteran forward, and he's been on some good teams, San Antonio and Denver, and an impact role player. And that's what the Kings needed, and that's exactly what they've gotten. But to me, he's elevated his game a little more and played more of a small ball five, because like you talked about, Chemezi's had some good moments, but he's also had a lot of bad. And the Kings have gotten exposed a lot in paint defense, and that's not really a Chemezi problem because he's not a rim protector. And also someone who played a lot of power forward in his first 2 years of the Kings. They need that rim protection. And while Trey Lyles isn't a rim protector, he's a physical presence down low. And someone who, even though he dropped weight in the offseason, he doesn't get bullied in the paint. He holds his own down there, even though he's 6'9". And that's something that happens in the NBA. I mean, you see Draymond Green do it. You see teams like the Clippers. They throw Robert Covington at center sometimes. Obviously, you know, PJ Tucker infamously has been a center before, and they throw him out there to go bruise down and low. So Trey Lyles is that guy for the Kings, someone who's been a stretch 4 or 5, and that's another discussion. Well, the Kings look to keep him this offseason. I'd like to think that they'll do their best to keep him, but he's on a $2 million contract right now, and I think he's earned himself a pretty good pay increase. But the interchangeability of the roster, having those guys, like you mentioned, Kessler Edwards, who was starting at the two just a couple days ago, he's able to guard, in my opinion, shooting guards through high-end threes. He's able to defend at a pretty good level. I think the Kings, if they play the Suns in the postseason, you'll see a healthy dose of Kessler Edwards guarding Devin Booker. It seems like that's been working for the Kings in those three matchups so far while he's been on the team. But the interchangeability is what makes them great, good team, in my opinion. And that's going to be huge down the stretch. And that's why they need all these guys healthy. And we're at the point now where, you know, if they clinch today and they lock in home court in the next couple of days, I mean, obviously Memphis is still there, but you want to start resting some guys and getting them fully healthy. And it's great that the Kings aren't just having to scrape through the play-in and have to kind of go through that whole process, because they'll get a whole, I think, 4 or 5 days off leading into the first round. And that's huge. But yeah, the roster depth has been awesome. And Trey Lyles has been a huge part of that.
Yeah, I mean, going into the playoffs, I mean, I'm okay with the fact that I think we're not going to catch the Grizzlies now. I mean, I believe we are 2 games back from Memphis.
One and a half, but they have a pretty easy schedule coming up, it seems like.
Yeah, but right now, I think this is not the goal for the rest of the season. I think you have to keep your ground. You have a healthy advantage with the fourth spots in the West. I believe we have a five. The Kings have a five game advantage over the Suns. So right now you just need to win. I think it's 2 games to secure home court advantage. So right now you just have to win game, and then maybe rest some of the core players on the last games of the season. So yeah, but talking about clinching this playoff spot, you'd rather clinch right now tonight without the Kings playing, or you prefer seeing it live in Golden One Center on after a win against these Minnesota Timberwolves?
It's tough. You know, I think that the best case scenario would have been last night. There was some scoreboard watching going on, and if the Sixers would have beaten the Suns last night, they would have put it, or if the Kings would have won last night, which they did, and if the Clippers would have, the last game was the Clippers versus the Pelicans. So if the Suns would have lost, they would have put the late game, the Clippers versus Pelicans, on the Jumbotron. It would have been really special to see everybody celebrate the end of the drought together. And Golden State's so good at home, I think it just kind of becomes a likelihood that they're going to win tonight. Yeah. And you never know on the NBA. You never know. I think Karl-Anthony Towns is questionable tonight. Anthony Edwards is returning, which could help. But the Warriors are so good at home, you like their odds against the Timberwolves. And even if the Warriors win tonight, I think it'll be special tomorrow on Monday night at Golden One Center. I think there'll be a lot of you know, I don't know if the Kings will recognize it, but they should, and they probably will. It's been 16 years, you know, and it's a weird thing to feel. I don't really know what to feel. I mean, I was 11 years old the last time that they made the playoffs, and I it's weird. It's almost like, I don't want to say a numbing feeling, but I don't really know how to react. I think I'll know when it happens. But last night at the game, I was talking with Brendan Nunez, who does great work on Kings social media and on the Kings Beat podcast, a bunch of other things he's on. But we're kind of looking at each other saying, I'm kind of starting to feel it. Like when we looked at the scoreboard and the Suns were losing, I think it was second quarter, and the Clippers were down by like 15 or 20, a little buzz. Like we're like, okay, like it's all happening. The Kings are winning. The other teams are losing. Like I'm starting to kind of feel this excitement. And I think tonight watching the Warriors game, even though I in my heart, I don't really want them to do it this way. I'd rather them do it at Golden One with everybody in the building. I think I'll get that kind of feeling of excitement tonight if the Warriors have a lead in the fourth. And I know that the Kings are about to have an X next to their name in the standings. That's going to be super cool to see just that graphic that gets posted saying, yeah, you know, Kings are in. It's just going to be a great feeling. Even this gets me excited thinking about it. So as the minutes go by, I get more and more excited. And it's a weird desensitized feeling just going through the last 16 years and having worked for them and now covering them. You know, there's always that part of fan in me that grew up being a Kings fan, but you kind of lose it after all the losing, and your expectations are almost zero. And this year has been an interesting experiment because now I'm caring again. And I definitely, I'm in it right now. I'm definitely looking forward to, but I'm also afraid of the playoff, the feelings I'm going to be going through. And, I just am excited for everybody, all Kings fans, because they deserve it, man. People that have been through all the hard times, the coaching changes, the dysfunction, the roster turnover. It's been a long road, and one that not many fan bases from other sports can compare to. And I just think that, like I said earlier, it's just something that people really have to hang on to and cherish, because it's never going to be like the first year, and it's never going to be like year number one. And if the Kings make the playoffs next, that's great. And if they don't, that makes this year even more special. But even today, if the Warriors win, soak it in. The drought will be over. And yeah, I think Kings fans as a whole, yeah, it'll be officially over. And I'm not sure how you feel. I mean, would you rather see it end with the Warriors win, or would you rather see it happen at Golden One while the place is going nuts?
That's a tough question. I mean, either way, I think there's going to be the downtown commons are going to be nuts. I mean, there are going to be so many Kings fans in the streets celebrating. So either way, it's going to be a great celebration. Obviously, I'd prefer to see it after a win at home. I mean, about all the storytelling and everything, it is the best case scenario. But I'm rooting for the fact that we are going clinching as soon as we can, so we can focus on other things. Not that the players are, are obsessed. I don't think the players are obsessed about clinching, because they know it's gonna happen eventually. Mm-hmm. But it's gonna be a big load of their chests, and now they're gonna be good things happening. And from here, I mean. I'm gonna stay up next night to see if the Warriors do win that game against the Timberwolves so the Kings officially clinch that playoff spot. So it will be amazing. I can even start to realize what's going to happen. We started this account like 2017, I believe it was right after De'Aaron Fox was drafted by the Kings, and we see so many up and downs, and mostly downs. But yeah, it's been a great run, and I was expecting a good season. I was one of the believers because. So many fans in France, not just King fans, but all NBA fans, were like, right. The Kings are not going to the playoffs. This is a team that's good for 12, 11, 10 spot, maybe playing at most. And we're like, nah, Mike Brown, you see all the moves that Malik Monk, Kevin Werther, etc. So I've told all my friends the Kings were going to win between 40 and 42 games, and that was very optimistic at the time. So now I'm so happy to see that we're like at 45 wins. I mean, we're so used to have 45, at least 45 losses on the season, yeah. But 45 wins, man, that's crazy. So, and going from the last season that was the Kings win like 31 games to yeah. this, to winning 45, to being out of the play-in, to secure home court advantage in just 1 year. I mean, how crazy is that? I mean, I can't even realize that all the work that's being done, and yeah, in 1 year, I wasn't expecting the Kings to be that good so fast.
Yeah, usually it takes a lot of time. Usually, I mean, I always like to look at the old Oklahoma City Thunder model. Back in, I think, 2012, they made the playoffs, the first round, with Kevin Durant and James Harden and Serge Ibaka, Russell Westbrook, that team. And it was like a welcome to the next step kind of moment for them. And that's how I always envisioned. I mean, me in high school, because I was in high school when that happened, and the Kings had already not been in the playoffs for 6 years. So I envisioned that. I was like, okay, well, the way that it will work for the Kings too is because the Thunder made it, and then they made it to the next round, and they made it to the finals or you know, and so forth. I think it was actually 2010 where the Thunder first made it, and they made the finals in 2012. That's what it was. So I was like, okay, there's a gradual road up, and the Kings is going into the season and saying, nah, that's boring. Let's not make the 7-8 seed. Let's just make the top three, top two. And they're there right now. They're in the 2-3 spot. They're pretty locked in, like you talked about. I think they actually have a 6-game lead over Phoenix. So I think it's just I think one win for the Kings, one loss for the Suns. They're good to go for home court and clinch the Pacific. So it's a crazy road they've taken, but I wouldn't change it, obviously. I mean, being able to be the first, it's just right. Having the first playoff game in 16 years to be a home game.
Yeah.
It's just
that's the best part. That's the best part to me. Having home court advantage, going back to the playoffs at Cordellwood Center. I mean, it's going to be amazing.
It's what the Kings fans deserve. The franchise deserves, and it kind of makes you think. You know, the basketball gods are smiling down on the Kings right now by finally giving them what they, in my opinion, have deserved. And there have been some bad decisions made along the way, but every button they've pressed over the past, you know, year plus. Last 13 months has been the right move. So home playoff game, like you said, a home top four seed. It just is a crazy sprint to the other half of the NBA, where last year they're in the cellar. So crazy, just crazy to see.
What's your favorite matchup going into the playoffs? I mean, what team do you want the Kings to face, and what team do you not want the Kings to face?
I'll start with the team I don't want them to face, just because of how good they are. Obviously, in the playoffs, historically, they're a dynasty, and that's the Golden State Warriors. And while the Warriors are not last year's team, and we don't know what's going on with Andrew Wiggins or if he's going to be back, and that obviously changes the dynamic of that team, they have been through it before. They just have done it time and time again. They have the most playoff experience out of any team in the league, and the Kings have the most inexperience of any playoff team in the league. And putting those two together is just a scary combination. And while it'd be a great story, a great NorCal matchup, it just, Steph Curry in the playoffs scares me. Klay Thompson in the playoffs scares me. The Kings have played them well this year. They played them well, but I just don't know if that'd be a matchup I would hope for. A matchup I would be hoping for right now, I mean, when you're looking at Dallas is just a dumpster fire right now. The Mavericks are losing again the Hornets, and they're out of the playoff picture right now, and they'd have to climb up to 7 or 6 again, and if the Kings finish 2-3, probably not going to happen. But one matchup I'm kind of starting to talk myself into is the Clippers, and the Clippers have been playing some better basketball lately. They lost pretty bad last night to the Pelicans, but Paul George is going through a knee issue, and he may or may not be back for the first round. That obviously makes them a lot weaker. And Kawhi Leonard left last night's game with a face injury. I'm knowing Kawhi, he'll probably miss a couple games, and I could see him coming back, whether it's a broken, he'll mask up if he had to wear the mask like Rip Hamilton. But that matchup, they seem kind of one-dimensional to me as far as if one of those superstars can't beat you, the Kings have proven that even if they're on their best, they are able to beat them. They did it on the road too. And the Kings being a good road team makes me feel comfortable in almost any matchup. But Golden State's just the one, how good the Warriors have been at Chase Center. I'd like to avoid it. And then lastly, one that can go either way for me is Minnesota. We don't really know who Minnesota is completely, and the Kings have struggled against them this year. The length has been a problem. They have a lot of guys on the team that, Anthony Edwards has been a complete nightmare for the Kings. He gets whatever he wants. Rudy Gobert has not been a factor, but Karl-Anthony Towns just returned. He changes things. Naz Reid, they have other McDaniels. They have some guys on the team that can really cause some problems, but that one intrigues me. But I'll talk myself into whatever scenario the Kings get into. KD on the Suns also coming back is one that scares me a little bit, but he's a question mark. I just think that the Kings are, no matter who they play, there's going to be those people saying, well, here we go. They don't have enough in the tank to win a playoff series, but they've proven time and time again, when their backs are against the wall, they can come out on top. And I think they, no matter who they play, they're going to give it a hell of a series.
So talking about playoff series, as optimistic as I am, I don't see the Kings going past first round. I can see them win one or two games in a playoff series, because like you said, they are so much experience, and no matter what team you're going to face, there are going to be so much playoff experience. I mean, like the Golden State Warriors or Clippers, mm-hmm. or even the Phoenix Suns, and going to be a great ride. But the Kings are so full of surprises. So maybe we'll get past the first round, and I'm be the first one to be happy about it. But realistically, I think just maybe winning one or two games, I think that's mission accomplished. I mean, the, mm-hmm. the season is successful. That will be very frustrating to get out of the playoffs with no win in the playoffs. So I can see the Kings winning one or two. And I have a question for you about that. Do you think we have seen the Kings building one of the best offense ever, and but the defense has been worse, not good to like very bad. And is it okay for you to not be playing elite defense in a playoff series? Is it a problem?
I think it's a problem for sure, but the Kings have proven that the reason why I feel a little more like confident in them pulling out a win while giving up a lot of points is the fact that their offense, like you said, it's historic, and it's never been seen before. And that's also it's not because I'm not saying the Kings have a better offense than the 73 win Warriors or the 96-98 Bulls. Like I'm not trying to say the Kings have a better offense than those teams, but in today's NBA, they're the top offense. They have done things that have not been done in a very long time. And that kind of cancels out, for the most part, the awful defense. Now, there are points in a game in the playoffs that can be a little different. I mean, teams lock in a little more. And while the Kings have played some intense games this year and come out on top, if you play the Golden State Warriors in the same situation in game six of a playoff series, that's kind of all out the window. It's not the same type of game. And can the Kings win a grinded out game by holding a team in check if they're being held in check against a good defensive team? You know, the Warriors aren't a great defensive team, but if they play a team like Phoenix, who is, they might run into some problems. So can they play good enough defense to survive a first round series? It completely depends on the opponent. I think they can hold their own enough to make it a series. I don't think they're going to be blown out of the water. I mean, I could be completely wrong, obviously. Who knows what's going to happen? But I would be surprised if the Kings go, lose a series 0-4 or 4-1. I think the Kings, like you said, two wins would be great. I agree. I think making it a 6 or 7 game series makes me feel really confident in this team and where they're going. But I also think this team's good enough to go further. I think the team, and I'm not just saying this to be optimistic or whatever, I think that this team really is good enough, if they're healthy, which they haven't for the whole, to make it to the next round. And it all depends on how they can, you know, like you said, pick up stops when they need to. And it just depends on their playing. I think that when the Kings have an idea of who they're playing, you can kind of start talking yourself into different scenarios or maybe talk yourself out of certain scenarios. But I'm always going to have confidence in their offense. And the defense has been bad. That needs to be addressed this offseason for sure. But no one's walking through that door to help change what they, you know, have already been doing. Kessler Edwards was the addition they made, and he's been helping as of late. But players like, you know, first of all, the starting five, obviously, but even off the bench, Shemezi Metu, if he's getting those minutes at the backup five, Mike Brown, quick hook. If he's not doing what Mike Brown and the staff are looking for, he gets a quick hook. He had 5 minutes of playing time the other night against Phoenix. So I think we'll see a lot of Trey Lyles small ball five in the playoffs, and that's been something that's helped a lot. I think we'll see some Kessler Edwards in 10, 12-minute increments, especially if they're playing a team like the Clippers or the Suns, who have scoring wings. But they're gonna need to make it a team effort, because the playoffs are a different beast.
We have some personnel. I mean, I can see the a rotation going into the playoffs, like you said, with Kessler Edwards or even Devin Mitchell, Trey Lyles, and small ball five. You have the players to make it a tough challenge for the team they are facing. I think like I said earlier, you have all types of players that can defend, that can shoot the ball well, and you can adapt all game long with that. And I can see Kessler Edwards having good runs during the playoffs, because he's so versatile. So his length, his capacity, his abilities defensively, obviously, and his rebounding, he's confident in. I can see him having a big role, and I think that's another great pickup by Monte McNair. That's a great player that can fit in right away. And another player that I'm curious to see about, because he hasn't played much, I believe, that's PJ Dozier. Mm-hmm. Some Nuggets fans told me that he was great for Denver. I think it was in the bubble in Orlando.
2020.
Yeah. So I'm a little curious to see what he can bring. If he's ever playing, I mean, but you have some personnel to adapt to different matchups. We've seen Kessler Edwards very well defend Devin Booker, but I can see nobody guarding players like Kevin Durant or Kawhi Leonard when they are in playoff mode. So we're going to try to do their best, and that's what we are expecting from our team.
Yeah, and also for PJ Dozier and Kessler Edwards are two guys that are also players you could have next year. Their depth, and Edwards, I think he has a team option. I think that Dozier is on a team option as well. So Kings and Monty McNair have some flexibility there, and I think they like both those players, and I think we can see them next year. But yeah, we might see some different things. We might see some different things if they're really struggling to slow somebody down, like if they play Minnesota and no one's able to slow down Anthony Edwards. Mike Brown has shown he will go to the bench. He'll put someone in that you didn't really expect. You could see Dellavedova throwing him to try and disrupt someone's flow, or like he's a Dozier. So Mike Brown has proven he did it in Utah the other night when the Kings were getting beat by 20. He threw Dellavedova out there to try and go slow down the Jazz backcourt that was tearing the Kings up. So the Kings have solid depth. Is it good enough to win a playoff series? We're going to find out. I think it is, but we're going to find out.
Yeah, I'm very scared about facing the Warriors in the first round, but that's the most likely scenario as of right now. But That's why I'm rooting for them to win tonight, because they, I think they will move to the fifth position, so that will give us the Clippers to play in the first round. Obviously, this the this is so tight in terms of ranking, so that can change until the last game of the season. So yeah, we'll see. But I like our chances to get the teams that going out of the play-in when the Kings were second in the West. But I think right now the second place is I don't see the Kings getting second once again. So we're gonna
you need Memphis to hit a slide, and they play the Hawks today. I think the Hawks are favored by 3 in that game. You never know what could happen, but Memphis gets the Clippers twice after today. I think they have the Magic first, but they have the Clippers twice this upcoming week. So that can move some things around for either or. If the Kings can take care of business in Portland, who have shut down Damian Lillard, they might have a chance. If the Kings can win those games, they could pick up a game on Memphis. So I get it. I'm also skeptical. But mathematically, they're a game and a half back. If Memphis were to win today, even in their two back, the Kings could pick up one or both of those games this week, and the Kings own the tiebreaker. So it could be interesting, but the Kings also have the Warriors coming up still. They play the Nuggets in the last game of the year, and the Nuggets might not be playing anybody, but who really knows? So I think the three is the, I'll say 90% chance they get the three seed. And I don't know. I think the Warriors will, I could see them jumping either way. I think the Kings are in the neighborhood of, we're going to see either the Suns, the Timberwolves, or the Clippers. That's who I really think. I think the Warriors is possible, but, I mean, those 4 through 6 spots right now are so – they're pretty much tied. And the Warriors right now, I think, have just proven that they can, you know, they can giddy up and show that they can, you know, get where they need to go. But the next week will be really, really interesting to me to see who the Kings are going to play. I mean, it's March 26th, 27th. And the season ends on April 9th. So a week from now, we'll probably have a decent idea. But then again, the West is a total just nightmare right now. The 4 through 12 are just completely on top of each other. So happy that the Kings aren't apart having to deal with that. The Kings can just kind of coast to the finish line here. So.
We're above that, yeah.
Yeah.
And like you said, the remaining schedule for the Kings, not that is easy, but you have some easy games, like you said, the Blazers, who have shut down Lillard. You have the Spurs, who obviously are tanking right now. You have the Pelicans that you can beat the Pelicans. So I mean, I can see the Kings winning like 4 more games maybe until the end of the season. So they can shake things up if the Grizzlies were to slide down and lose some games. So yeah, maybe, but we'll see. But I don't see Minnesota climb up to number 6. But who knows? Yeah, right now I think our best the most likely scenario is either Warriors or the Phoenix Suns or Clippers.
Yeah,
the three teams. But that's something I've been meaning to ask you. I believe there is a big rivalry with the Warriors because the two teams in North California. So is the rivalry biggest than the one with the Lakers, or I mean, do you prefer to beat the Warriors in a playoff series or the Lakers?
I think Lakers. If you were to poll Kings fans, they still feel very strongly about the Lakers being the team they hate more. The Warriors hasn't had a chance to be a rivalry. This would, in my opinion, this would make it a rivalry. If they play in the first round, it would kind of make their, now there's a basis for that discussion that once you play in a playoff series, it kind of opens up the, you know, Pandora's box. But I think if you were to poll Kings fans, they for sure would say the Lakers are the team. And for a while, it was looking like that was a possibility. The Lakers were the 7th seed. I think they were kind of inching closer to that top 6 a week or so ago. Now, as we're getting updates, LeBron James is coming back today. So the Lakers, can they make a push for that 6th seed? Probably not. I mean, when you look at who's there, I'm pulling up the standings just to see for sure. the Lakers right now, I mean, they're a game and a half back of a sixth seed. So, I mean, I don't know. If they get LeBron back, I mean, they're a different beast. Warriors or Lakers, I think it would be a more of a rivalry with the Lakers, but it would get fans interested. The only bad thing about if the Warriors or the Lakers play the Kings in the first round, it's that the Kings will have to, the Kings organization will have to be very careful about who they give tickets to, and they'll have to really try to persuade season ticket holders to not sell their tickets to other people, because Warriors fans will show up in masses and Lakers fans will show up in masses, and that will take away home court advantage. And while the Kings have proven they can win on the road, I'll say Crypto.com Arena isn't really that intimidating to me. I don't think it's really had it hasn't really had the people don't really look at it as an intimidating place to play in the playoffs. Chase Center is different. Chase Center and Oracle back in the day are way different. And Golden One Center has that too. But if you don't play the Clippers or the Suns in the first round or the Timberwolves, you're going to get the Warriors or the Lakers. And that just kind of brings in that, 70-30, 60-40 fan split, which could be a bummer for the Kings. So hopefully, I mean, I love the storyline, but I'd like it for it to be, like you said, the Suns, the Clippers, the Timberwolves, any of those teams that don't have any local ties, because it just would be unfortunate as far as fans showing up. But hopefully the Kings can get a hold on that.
Yeah, it's gonna be so hard to get tickets to get inside Golden One Center. I mean, like I think I see so many tweets all day long saying, "Buckle up, guys! It's gonna be very hard to get tickets to get inside." So, I can wrap my head around the things they're going to do. Nothing about the fans. I mean, I believe there will be maybe something like a giant screen outside, so all the fans can watch the game right outside Golden One Center. So I believe the atmosphere will be maybe not as much as not as big as inside the arena, but the outside is going to be wild as well. So. Mm-hmm. I'm saying if you can get in, whatever. So we'll get to experience that atmosphere outside the arena and maybe see the beam.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, definitely. That the atmosphere outside is going to be great, and it'll be a great time. I mean, they're going to have a watch party. I've heard that they might open up the arena for away games and do a watch party that style. And of course, yeah, I mean, seeing a playoff beam in person, I think that'd be just an incredible experience. So the Kings are going to take care of the fans. They're going to have watch parties that you see on other, over the years, other telecasts, and they show, fans outside of the other arenas. The Kings are going to have that. And I think people will show up in masses for sure.
Yeah, it's going to be great. We are so much looking forward to being there. That's now, I think we are leaving in now 2 weeks.
So awesome, man. So exciting.
Yeah. So, when we bought the plane tickets, we weren't so sure, because I believe it was the beginning of March or the end of February, something like that. And the Kings may have as well slide to the play-in tournament. And like, okay, we're going to be in Sacramento starting April 11th. Just to be sure, maybe they will go straight to the playoffs, and that's okay. We're gonna spend some 3 or 4 days visiting the San Francisco or Sacramento or whatever, and yeah, we're very very excited to be there. I mean, I think we're not realizing how cool it will be to see the Kings back in the playoffs, to be some of the few French fans to be able to experience the Kings going back into the playoff. I mean, the city is going to be so wild.
I'm happy you guys are coming, man. I'm happy you guys are going to be able to experience that. That's me again. I mean, that's the best thing you can experience right there. You're coming at a perfect time, so you're going to have a great time. Hopefully, I get to see you too. That'd be awesome.
Yeah. Hopefully we can meet.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. Franklin, thank you very much for being on this podcast. It was great talking with you.
So thanks for having me, and I'm excited, man. I'm excited. Let's see what happens tonight, and you know, next time we talk, we'll be talking about a playoff team. So
yeah,
I appreciate the time.
That's great.